quite considerably.
What a performance! It's ridiculous! Absolutely ridiculous!
Prenez vos places, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Ready. Play.
Bonjour, good morning everybody, welcome to day four of Roland Garros 2026. I'm Marcus Buckland, feel like I haven't moved. If you've just been listening to last night's highlights, you're about to get a repeat because alongside me is Lady Eleanor of Preston. Have you managed to get any sleep since that match last night?
Plenty of sleep, thank you. But it was an enjoyable evening of tennis, wasn't it? Because we had a bit of excitement. We had Sinner performing as Sinner does, at a level of unparalleled excellence that no one else can touch. Just, you know, standard stuff. Then we had the defeat of Jessica Pegula, the fifth seed, who went out. Great win for Kimberly Birrell there. And at the end, we saw a really compelling five-setter with Felix Auger-Aliassime coming through against Daniel Altmaier. So it was an eventful evening, wasn't it?
It really was, and I think we're in for another eventful day today. I should just point out, we've got the new introduction, and you hear the voice of Naomi Cavady, who both of us have just been talking to outside. She's on television duty. There's that little snippet of commentary from her where she says it's ridiculous, just ridiculous. She's actually referring to your picks.
How have we got there this quickly?
Just thought I'd get that.
It's barely 1 minute past 11 local time, and here I am being pilloried for my dark horse predictions. Well, dark horses have bolted.
Yes.
Let's just accept that.
I'm just going to make up, Eleanor, for the abuse I got when I came in yesterday wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I'm slightly smarter.
Yes.
A longer pair of shorts.
Yes. Now you're more dressed for golf.
Yes. Oh. That would be a good idea. Actually, no, it's too hot for golf today. It's another scorcher, in case you're wondering. Again, not a cloud in the sky. It's going to be up into the 30s once more, which in old-fashioned terms is well into the 90s. So everyone's got to stay hydrated. And just remember, if you're out on court, it's the same for everybody. And if you are here today and you're sitting in the sun, well, be careful, because it is absolutely brutal. As Eleanor was telling us, well, she was incorrectly telling us, it's going to get cooler. She said on Monday, but apparently it's on Sunday. Although now, having looked at a forecast a day or two ago, and it said by the middle of next week, the temperature will be down to 18 or 19. I'd say it's gone back up towards 24 and 25 as we get to semi-finals.
It's almost as if the business of weather forecasting involves some guesswork and unknowns.
Guesswork, a bit like when it comes to predicting your dark horses.
Well, I think, yes, that was a guess. For those of you who missed it, I can't believe you have, because it's been mentioned every other second on this radio program, but I did pick Daniel Medvedev as my male dark horse, and I picked Jiang Qinwen as my female dark horse, both of whom did not survive into the second round of this tournament. I will stand by my predictions, because I think with a dark horse it's important to take a risk, and with that risk comes potential for humiliation and never living it down.
Yeah, we will also point out that it's not just your dark horses that normally stumble, and make reference again to the fact that you called Ons Jabeur to be champion a few years ago and she'd lost by lunchtime on the first Sunday. But we'll move on from that today. Court Philippe Chatrier.
It's just really good that you have moved on from that.
I'm sure we'll come back to it. Court Philippe Chatrier begins at midday local time, so that's in just under an hour from now. Iga Świątek is up first, and we will join the start of that match. Then it's Elena Svitolina, who was very emotional a couple of nights ago, understandably, when her husband, Gael Monfils, played his final match, and there was that wonderful tribute at the end, and he spoke in glowing terms about his parents, about all his friends, but also in particular about what Elena Svitolina has brought to his life over the past 8 or 9 years, not least, of course, a beautiful child. Novak Djokovic is on third. He's up against the Frenchman in Valentin Royer, so there should be a terrific atmosphere on court for that. And tonight, we'll bring you the night match, of course. It's Tomáš Macek of Czechia against the number two seed, Alexander Zverev. Other big names playing today on court, Suzanne Longlet, well, Elena Rybakina, who's my tip to go all the way, is second on. Jasmine Paolini follows her against Solana Sierra, who beat Great Britain's Emma Raducanu a couple of days ago. Casper Ruud, now, has he been able to recover fully from that exhausting, grueling match he played a couple of days ago? LNA was saying that, you know, he couldn't see the ball, he could barely breathe, he lost the fourth set, 6-love, having had match points in the third. Eventually, he managed to get through. I mean, that's the good thing, I guess. You've got a whole day to recover from something like that, but he's going straight back out into the furnace.
I think he did a really good job of using his experience in that situation, because lest we forget, he was 2 sets, 5-3 up, and in such a strong position, and it felt like the match was over for all intents and purposes, and suddenly he started to be affected by the conditions, did Ruud, and he started to look unwell. He was starting to feel dizzy and disorientated, and very sensibly, he just kind of managed his resources. Every change of ends, he sat down, he poured ice cold water over himself, trying to bring his core temperature down. He did everything he possibly could to try and get himself back together, and it was just about enough. But a really sort of sobering reminder of just how grueling these conditions can be for these players. And you're not going to find a better tennis athlete than Casper Ruud, and he struggled in this temperature. So just a sign there of how vulnerable players can suddenly find themselves being.
Yeah, I mean, that was a remarkable match because his opponent, Roman Safelin, gave a very good impression of the Walking Dead for the last couple of sets.
He was
well.
Also having treatment as well, wasn't he? So there was a lot going on. I think Ruud will be hoping for a rather less dramatic progress today.
Yeah. Well, he's last on court, Suzanne Longlet against Hamad Medvedevic. On Simon Mathieu today, amongst others, Andre Rublev and Hugo Humbert in an all-French battle with Quentin Ellis. I'm glad that Sofie Amiak's not here because I'm quite certain I'm not pronouncing that as I should. Amira Andreeva is also on the Simon Mathieu court. Marta Kostyuk, who's my dark horse, is second on court 14 against Katie Bolanets. We're going to start on court 14 in just a moment with an intriguing encounter. More on that shortly. Court 7. Keep an eye out for Yelena Ostapenko, who's playing Magda Linette. If she wins and Iga Swiatek wins, they will meet in round 3, and I think everybody knows the stat. Ostapenko is undefeated against the pulverizer.
6-0. She is Swiatek's kryptonite so far. So that will be one which we'll all be intrigued to watch should it come to pass. But Linette's never easy, actually. Magda Linette is a very stalwart competitor out there on any surface, and Ostapenko can always be a little bit up and down. Her game style is so hitting all out that she has no margin for error, as we know, and or very little margin for error, as we know, and that's something. It's not a given that Ostapenko gets through. It's not a given that Swiatek gets through.
No. Well, Ostapenko is second on court 7, followed by Rafael Jodar, this thrilling young Spaniard, 19 years of age. He's playing James Duckworth. He's attempting to become the first Spaniard since Rafael Nadal in 2003 to reach the third round of a Grand Slam on debut. Nadal did that at Wimbledon 23 years ago. Federico Gina of Italy is on court 6 against Jesper de Jong, who ended Stan Wawrinka's Roland Garros career a couple of days ago. It was the day of farewells, wasn't it? Roberto Batista Gut said adios after losing. So did Stan, and of course so did Gael Monfils. And one other player I do want to mention who we must keep an eye out for, and I had to look quite a long way to find her on the running order, but Francesca Jones of Great Britain, who had a brilliant victory 2 days ago. It was rather shamefully overlooked, I feel, because as is the custom in the United Kingdom in particular, all eyes go straight to Emma Raducanu, and whether or not she wins or loses, she gets all the headlines. Well, she lost, but Francesca Jones battled through brilliantly to set up a meeting with Maria Buzkova. She's attempting, Eleanor, to become the first British woman to reach the third round at Roland Garros since Joe Konta in 2019, and before that you had to go back to Joe Drury in 1992.
Yeah, Joe Konta ended up making the semi-finals here, which was an extraordinary result and a really impressive achievement. Yeah, Fran Jones through. British men haven't fared quite so well. Katie Bolter, also worth a mention. She is through to the second round. British men, we had Cam Norrie sadly having to retire hurt. He's been struggling with this rib injury. And it's the first time he'd retired in a match since 2014. I mean, he is a strong competitor, is Norrie. But the injury just proving too much yesterday. Jacob Fernley went out first round. Not necessarily the best surface for him. But, yeah, we will certainly be keeping an eye across that match involving Great Britain's Fran Jones.
But, as mentioned, as promised, we are starting on Court 14, and this is an encounter between Alejandro Davidovich Fokina of Spain, who is seeded 21 at these championships, and the very exciting Argentinian Thiago Agustin Tirante, who has a serve to die for. And I mentioned we were talking to Naomi Cavada, who's seen a fair bit of him this year, and she did say you're in for a bit of a treat, because he is more than capable of hammering down two or three serves at around 149 miles an hour in every service game. And yet he sort of couples that up with relatively precise ground strokes, which have got firmer and more effective, but it's quite a fascinating combination, Lady E.
Yes, I mean, Naomi Cavada likened him to Andy Roddick in terms of that serve, the pace of serve and the consistency of the speeds of that serve. But it's something that he has been adding a little bit more to, so he's not a one-dimensional player. I think the remarkable thing about him is we're not talking about Impeshi Pericard, who is 6'8". We're talking about a man who's 6'1". Mm. So generating that kind of pace, that is all about rhythm. And we'll see how far it gets him. On these faster conditions, that will favour someone who has a bigger serve. The serve will get more penetration. It will get more torque off the surface.
Well, he is serving first at 15-all, and he's serving to the backhand of Davidovich Fokina, who's a very gritty opponent in his own right, so he won't be fazed with any bullets that come flying in his direction. And he's played a pretty strong backhand there, which is played back into the court by Tirante, and then Davidovich Fokina, taking full advantage of the fact that Tirante was behind his baseline, comes up with a nice little drop shot.
Well, Davidovich Fokina is a player who loves these kind of battles, doesn't he? We've seen a few five-setters with him down the years here at Roland Garros. He's a big crowd favourite as well. Fun to watch. I mean, I'm expecting this to be actually very entertaining between these two players.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, we have been royally treated already in the first 3 days to a variety of different stories. 15:30 now for Tirante. Plays the off forehand to the double hander of Davidovich Fokina, who clips the top of the tape. The point continues with a forehand down the line from DF, I think I might call him, for the sake of saving a little bit of time with each point.
ADF.
It sounds like he's got an issue when you say that.
Or he's an international insurance broker.
Yes, one of those two things.
Which he could be.
He could. Mistake from Tirante means we've actually got two break points for ADF, who's blonde-haired, and he's got sort of a light beard with a bit of a moustache.
Yeah, he used to have a top knot, didn't
That's
he?
Right.
He used to have his hair in a top knot, and now he's gone a bit more conventional with the haircut, and he's just wearing a white cap, which is very sensible in these conditions, as we've been saying. White T-shirt, black shorts, black tennis shoes.
Tirante has not got his first serve going yet. The second serve has eventually led to a backhand long from Davidovich Fokina. So one break point is saved by the 6 foot one inch Argentinian, who's also wearing a white shirt, the sort of beigey shorts.
Yes.
About right?
Yes, that's about right. Yeah.
Getting good at this, aren't I? White socks.
White socks, black shoes.
Yeah. And a white headband as well to keep his quite long dark hair in control. First serve again into the net. Not sure if he's they got one first serve in this game.
Well, that's yours and my fault for talking his serve up.
Well, it is, and look at that. He's now netted with the second serve. It's a double fault, so having gone big on the Tirante serve, he has immediately been broken.
So you know we said he had an amazing serve. I blame Amy Cavada.
I did too.
John says, did Marcus and Lady Eleanor sleep in the studio last night? We already know Stefan lives there. Stefan also leaves, as did we. And he said, also, did Stefan put new intro music together? I like it. I really like the new music we have. I like the little alien wispy-wispy sounds in the background. It's great.
Well, John, as we were saying, you know, Stefan's got 50 weeks to do nothing in between Roland Garros, so he thought he'd at least start a new introduction. I didn't have time to sleep, John. I had to go back and faire le ménage in the Airbnb that Lady Eleanor and the Empress are staying in. Lots of dusting and hoovering.
Can you not mention ménage in that context, please?
Au service,
ça les rentre. Ah oui, un ménage à toi? Non, ce n'est pas possible.
Anyway.
Moving on again.
Yes. I didn't notice if you'd done any cleaning. I ran my finger along the dust. I mean, it's fine if I find it like that, but if Gigi finds it like that, you're really in trouble.
0.15.
You could have just hoovered right under the... You need to lift the rugs up as well.
I know, but I didn't want to make too much noise because I could hear you both snoring away. Double fault from Davidovic Fokina with his first service point. Now he clips the top of the tape. Absolutely packed court 14. Just after 11 o'clock in the morning, but everybody who got in early knew that this was the match to go to first up. And there's another missed first serve. Oh, and what's going on there?
Well, whatever it wasn't allowed.
No, I didn't see anything untoward.
Well, I think it was somebody was about to do the da-da-da-da-da-da, but actually it was between first and second serve. So I think what the umpire was doing is just saying, no, you need to let the player serve.
But hang on, how on earth could he have predicted that someone was about to do the
Because you could hear it, and he stopped it. He stopped it midway through.
Wow.
He was on the ball.
He's sharp, you're sharp. And it's now 15-all. ADF misses with his first serve into the sidelines. Tirante plays the return on the forehand, and then very cleverly Davidovic Fokina goes back behind him as he was regaining a central position. And although Tirante stretched on his forehand wing to try and get the ball back into play, he was unable to do so. So, of course, we'll keep you up to speed with all the other matches that have got underway around the grounds, including Karen Khachanov, the 13th seed, against Marco Trungaletti, another Argentinian. Backhand reply from Tirante. And Davidovic Fokina then hammers a forehand winner. Katie McNally's playing Belinda Bencic on court Simon Mathieu, the beautiful greenhouse court.
And that's an interesting one to keep an eye on because Katie McNally does like playing on clay. There's a sort of cliche that American players are not that comfortable on clay, but actually a few of them are really, it's probably their favourite surface. Mm. So one to cast an eye over. As always, we'll keep you posted on what's happening. And if we're not doing that, you can also have the app open, which is probably how you found us. But the excellent Roland Garros app has all the scores, all the draws, all the information, live scoring, lots of features. And especially if you're coming to Roland Garros, if you're lucky enough to have a ticket, it's got a lot of really helpful, useful information for visitors to come here.
Yeah. Best thing about the app is that there's a little radio icon at the top of the first page, and all you've got to do is press it, and you'll have us forevermore wherever you go. 40-30. Got an extravagant forehand return from Tirante, who's now slicing on his forehand wing. Now he's got to go across to his double-handed backhand. It's Davidovic Fokina who's bossing these rallies at the moment. He's winding up for an inside-in forehand. Some good defending from Tirante up until that point when the weight of the shot from the other end of the court proved too much for him. And having got the break right at the start of the match, despite the fact that he double-faulted twice in that game, it's a relatively comfortable hold for Alejandro Davidovic Fokina. And of course, Lady E, we'd love to hear from everybody, wherever they are in the world.
Always, at radio_RG on the X platform. You can email us, frenchopenradio@fft.fr.
One previous meeting between these two, that was in Stockholm a couple of years ago. Davidovic Fokina came through in straight sets, 7-6, 6-2. Tirante's come to the net and he's getting out of the way because the ground stroke, the Exocet missile from Davidovic Fokina was aimed at him, but having gone past him, it also went way past the baseline. Davidovich Fokina is attempting to reach the third round at Roland Garros for the third time. Actually made the quarters in 2021 before losing to Sasha Zverev and then lost to Novak Djokovic in 2023. So it takes a good player to stop him here. That's a good serve from Taranti, and he's able to come in. Short return. Puts his plus one, his forehand cross court, into the open court for a comfortable winner. There's a slightly sort of...
They're trying, aren't they?
Slow motion charm, but it is only 20 past 11. That's a big serve right onto the service line. And again, Taranti's able to take full advantage of the short return and off forehand winner this time.
40-0.
Well, Argentinian players have such a sort of rich history of playing well here at Roland Garros that you do always get lots of fans from that nation coming to watch and cheer their players on. So Taranti won't be without friends out there on court 14, although, as I was saying, Davidovich Fokina is really a very established crowd favourite here in particular. He's had some really thrilling matches here.
Backhand from Taranti with his plus one. He's having to go quite deep in this rally, and he goes long again with his double hander. These two are both brilliant juniors. Taranti reached number one in the junior rankings. Davidovich Fokina number two. And he was the Wimbledon boys singles winner in 2017. Had a 20 wins and just one defeat record in that particular year as a junior. Missed first serve from Taranti. It's quite quick. Taranti wants to get on with it, but he had to just wait for a moment because a ball girl had to do her duty. And now he's playing the off forehand. He's coming in behind it, and the slice, the attempted repasse to that big off forehand from Taranti, went wide from Davidovich Fokina. So, having been broken straight up, Taranti's got himself on the ball, but he's still a breakdown. 2-1 after 11 minutes. And look at that blue sky again, Lady E, which contrasts perfectly with the green trees. I have not seen a cloud since I got here on Saturday afternoon.
No, it's been remarkably clear weather and remarkably warm, as we've mentioned, but maybe somewhat cooler this morning, but not by much. Still, as we've been saying, low to mid-30s here, low, which is sort of mid-90s Fahrenheit, something like that. Jonathan says, good morning, Marcus and Lady Eleanor. Does Lady Eleanor get double pay to endure being paired with Marcus twice in a row? I mean, it's a very valid question, Jonathan, and it's something I'll be raising in my next HR review. More importantly, the modern habit of allowing players to play when they want gives players too much advantage. Discuss.
I think that's a very good point.
Jonathan says, I remember that even the real greats of yesteryear had to play on the old court too at Wimbledon once in the fortnight. Should Yannick Sinner have to play on Longlen at least once and also during the day on Châtrier before the quarterfinals? It would seem fair to me. And Jonathan points out, even Nadal, to bring it more up to date, was asked to play on Longlen once. I think it's a little simplistic to say they just get to play when they want. They can put a request in. There are lots of factors that go into court allocation and scheduling in general, and one of them is obviously television. You know, the broadcasters around the world pay a lot of money and they get to give their input, and they say, well, I would like some third on, and I would like our player on a court with lots of cameras because that really helps us. We know that player is popular and lots of people are going to want to watch. But actually the most important driving force is fairness. So it's certainly about making sure that everybody who's reached, for example, the quarterfinals or the semifinals has ideally had a chance to play on court Philippe Chatrier. So there are those factors that come into it. And in doing so, you're right, Rafael Nadal has played on Suzanne Longlen. Certainly at Wimbledon, players have often played on court number one, the biggest players. So I would absolutely expect Yannick Sinner to be moved from day to night. I don't think it's a question of Sinner, because he's world number one, walking into the office and saying, here's a list of times I've been available to play. It's much more of a players make the request and then everything is balanced out in discussion. And yeah. It can be a lively discussion. There are meetings every evening, and those meetings can involve disagreements between who thinks one what should happen. But as I said, the deciding factor in my experience is actually about fairness.
Very comfortable hold for Davidovich Fokina to love, so he moves into a 3-1 lead. Yes, excellently explained, Lady E. And of course, if you're the world number one, you deserve a little bit of respect. And of course, the majority of your matches will therefore be on court. Philippe Chatrier, I'm pretty sure there's an unwritten rule at Wimbledon that the top players always play at least one match away from centre court, assuming they play seven in all.
Well, I mean, when you look at these so-called second courts, they're still some of the most iconic venues in the world.
Yeah.
You know, there is nothing wrong with... It's not a demotion to play on court Suzanne Longlen. In fact, sometimes, especially on clay, where some courts have more space at the back of the court, for example, they have more run back. You have more room. You can stand further back on return of serve. There are actually some subtle differences between courts, and players prefer one court over another.
Glorious little 0-15. Drop shot on the forehand wing from Davidovich Fokina to take the first point of this latest game. He's demonstrating a lot of ability first up today, as we would expect from such a talented individual. But yeah, for many years, of course, Court 2 at Wimbledon was referred to as the graveyard of champions. Some big upsets there back in the day. A baseline rally between these two. And, oh, goodness me. Davidovich Fokina can do no wrong at the moment. He's just lent into an inside-in forehand and pummeled the winner. And the ball wasn't really that far away from Tarante, but he just didn't move. There was no point. Hit so purely, so beautifully. Karen Khachanov's got a break early on against Marco Drungaletti of Argentina. So not a good start for the two Argentine men in action. Linda Bencic and Katie McNally are on serve early in their encounter at the glorious Simone Mathieu venue. Now, what's Davidovich Fokina going to do here? I'm expecting some more brilliance. Maybe I shouldn't, because he's just lofted an off forehand way beyond the baseline.
Commentator's eye. Vishal says, Hebby and B, in relation to expressing surprise that Gigi and I might be in an Airbnb. I think the organisers must be giving you 5-star accommodation in Paris. Well, it's an Airbnb, but it's at Versailles, and it's very much more of a palace, because I'm, of course, rooming with the Empress.
You are.
So you are. I can ride somewhat on her coattails.
And you've, I believe, well, I know, because I was doing the Le Ménage last night, you've both got a wing each.
Oh, yes, at least.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to somewhere to house all the staff for the Empress.
Of course.
So that takes up quite a lot of space.
Yeah, but she doesn't expect them to rest for long, so it's a pretty modest accommodation.
Yes, it's really more of a broom cupboard.
Yes.
But, you know, with 8 of them in there, at least they've got company.
Now, I'm very impressed, and I don't know who's written back. Adam's been in touch.
I've written back.
Oh, you've written back?
I answer emails, Marcus.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, you.
It's not that mind-blowing.
No, but it's all very well answering it, but false promises as Tarante is broken again. And what we expected to be a really tight competitive match is anything but after 18 minutes, because Davidovich Fokina is a double breakup. He's leading by 4-1. Now, Adam, a short time ago, wrote in saying, please can the live stream web link from your Twitter be checked and updated? It isn't working for me this morning. Sorry to be awkward, but streaming from there drains my phone battery so much more slowly than through the app. Keep up the great coverage. And this mysterious reply, which I now know came from Lady E, says, thanks, Adam. We'll have a look. Well, will we? How do you know?
Because Stefan has just heard that, and he'll have a look.
Ah.
So when I say
we,
it's more the royal we in that I'll ask Stefan. Stefan will have a look.
I see.
And we'll try and make sure it's working.
I mean, just for a moment, I thought you were extending your repertoire now into fixing IT problems.
Well, I think I can take a link out and repost it. I mean, I don't think that's stretching necessarily my IT knowledge. But Adam, rest assured, we're on the case. And when I say we, I mean Stefan.
Well, Stefan...
Because obviously the rest of us know nothing.
Stefan is looking slightly bemused as to what he should do about this, but he'll fix it. Adam, thank you. Hope we can resolve that problem just as quickly as possible. It's the first time you've ever replied to an email.
No. I reply to emails quite often.
Do you?
If it's something like that, which is a tech issue or something that requires a reply, yeah. I know, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Morning to Madam Eater. Wondering if Rachel from Barcelona's dream of her wedding with Bill on the... Or wondering if she did dream about her proposed wedding that we did suggest. We had a bit of matchmaking going last night, if you weren't with us. Bill from Chicago, alongside Rachel, who used to be in the States, now lives in Barcelona. And it got a little bit out of hand, I have to say.
Did it, Marcus? Did it get out of hand?
Slightly.
And why was that?
Well, I might have got overexcited.
And married them off.
Yes.
And then we somehow managed to organise a great big wedding with lots of generous offers from all over the world.
Yeah.
We had someone baking a cake at one stage.
Yeah. Theatre tickets were being offered.
And Madam Eater was going to do a full Indian banquet for them. John very kindly offered them what he called a no-expenses-spared trip to Galway to look after his children. John's now obviously... I don't know if Mrs. John has... had read the exchange and has had a word, but John now says, as regards my not at all exploitative offer to come to Galway and hang out with my kids, my two lads are the very best and I'd be lost without them.
Oh, he's backpedalling.
Can you say hello to Oscar and Lala? Yes, of course. Hello, both. Oscar. Sorry, your dad's trying to find other people to look after you.
Yeah, Oscar and Lala, Bill from Chicago's on his way.
Not really. It was all, anyway, it was all a lot of fun.
It was.
And a little bit of a flight of fancy. We think, in the end, Bill let Rachel down very gently because I think Bill's spoken for.
Yeah.
And they might end up playing doubles together instead.
He was spoken for until his wife heard about all this planning behind her back. Been a big row in Chicago overnight. Another very comfortable hold of serve for Davidovich Fokina. So he's now 5-1 up. Karen Khachanov is still a break-up against Marco Trungaliti. No, it's Trungaliti. Isn't it?
Do you need me for this?
I might do.
Think I'll let you work it out.
Oh, thanks. You just email me back when you know the answer.
I might. You might go straight to spam.
So, Taranti, with this incredible serve we've been told about, that's been broken twice already, is now serving to stay in the first set. What the hell does Naomi Cavaday know about tennis?
I mean, quite a lot.
Big forehand from Davidovich Fokina. The weight of his ground strokes has been most impressive so far today, and that's another perfectly constructed point from the Spaniard, hitting from side to side and then effortlessly coming in and putting a forehand volley into the open court.
I suppose this is an illustration of why Taranti is trying to add other strings to his bow, trying to put a bit more beef on his ground strokes. Because live by the serve, die by the serve. You can have a fantastic serving day and that's great. But if you don't have such a good day, you need other things, other weapons.
Yeah, he's only manufactured two winners so far. Davidovich Fokina with that forehand volley is up to 11. This time though, as he tries to go across court on his forehand wing, he nets. So it's 15 all.
And in Davidovich Fokina, he's up against a much more rounded player. With also a very, very good return of serve.
Talking of big servers, Petri Perikar is in doubles action at the moment with the man who grabbed all the headlines yesterday, Moise Kwame. What a combination that could be. But having said that, they're 2-4 down in the first set to the American combo of Cash and Tracy, who must be returning extremely well. Now, slice on the backhand from Taranti, deep, right onto the baseline, and he goes down the line, so Davidovich Fokina having to defend here, and eventually he goes wide.
Cash and Tracy sounds like a detective duo.
It does. It
sort
really
of hard-bitten
does.
Detective solving crimes in some gritty city in the United States.
Yeah, I agree. Cash and Tracy. Maybe here to solve your problems.
Maybe Stefan could create a theme song for them.
He's got 50 weeks after I this mean, to do that.
As we've said, he's got time.
Yeah. And honestly, I think he'd have time to go and buy a pair of trousers.
He's worn trousers, Marcus. We've seen it.
I think he had to borrow them off someone.
Well, not you, clearly.
Davidovich Fokina has won 12 of the last 15 points as Taranti finds himself at 1-5-30 all. Serves to the backhand. The return is guided down the middle. And there's a really nice little sliced forehand drop shot from Taranti to get to 40-30. I never tire of watching a well-constructed drop shot, but equally, I always shudder when I see a bad one.
Well, that's the beauty of them, isn't it? And it's such an audacious shot. It's such a clever shot, but the thing that lots of players struggle with is when to play them. And also, as you said, executing perfectly, because it's such an effective shot on clay, but equally, actually, your opponent has that little bit of extra time to get there.
Well, no time for Davidovich Fokina to get to that return. It goes wide. It is another hole for Taranti, but I think it's a little too late in this opening set because he sits down, trailing by 5-2.
I think it's a for such a gentle, soft, nuanced shot, it's quite a power move hitting a drop shot because it sends the message, I'm in control, I can move you around, I can toy with you. Do keep your messages coming in on the X platform at radio_RG, on email frenchopenradio@fft.fr. And yes, we do occasionally answer them. This has really shocked Marcus.
I'm just having a look at Taranti's service stats so far. 52% first serve percentage. He's only winning 50% of his first serve points, 6 out of 12, and 55% on second serve. And compare that to Davidovich Fokina, who's yet to lose a point on his first serve, 7 from 7, and he's won 5 out of 7 on his second serve. So despite the fact that Taranti's the man with the big weapon, it's Davidovich Fokina, for now at least, who is proving almost unstoppable on serve.
John's been back in touch. Thanks for the shout-out, Lady E. Oscar wants to know, did you find your grape scissors? Oscar, I never lost them. I've actually got 2 pairs, and I'm not even making that up. I do own 2 pairs of grape scissors, and they're always at hand. And John says, just have to set the record straight. This is probably a little telling off for me. Oscar's little brother's name is pronounced Erla. Erla.
Goodness sake.
I know, and actually I'm reasonably good with Irish names because I'm of Irish heritage, but yes, sorry about that.
Eleanor, it's unacceptable to get names wrong on Radio Roland Garros.
Is it? Is that a new rule?
That's another day of pay that's just been docked.
I'm going to end up paying the Empress at this stage.
You're severely in debt at the moment.
Rob says, scheduling. Why would you book 2 French doubles teams to play against each other while having Victoria, I presume he means Mboko, play against Layla in doubles again today? Why don't they spread the players out by national origin? Well, Rob, that's not really scheduling. That's the draw. And the draw is random. Yes. So there is no control. I'm not sure that the FFT would particularly want 2 sets of players, French players, playing each other because, one of them would not win. So that is the draw, and the draw is beyond reproach, and a lot of effort goes into making sure it's absolutely random and absolutely fair.
Just seen a wonderful running forehand winner from Taranti that even Davidovich Fokina applauded, hooked it back beautifully across court. So signs of life belatedly in this first set from the Argentinian. And Davidovich Fokina, who'd lost only 2 points on serve up until this particular game, is now at 15-30, and he's coming in with a backhand that produces a high lob from Taranti. It's landed in the court, so Davidovich Fokina had to go back a long way. Now he's playing a double-hander down the line. He's coming in now to play a little forehand volley. He should get past, though, and he is. It wasn't the best of forehand volleys, and Taranti, who's got a huge smile on his face now, carves the ball back past him on his backhand wing.
15-40.
And he hasn't had a lot to smile about in this first set. But that was great movement and anticipation, wasn't it?
It was, and he is fun to watch. There's no doubt about that. I do love expressive players. There aren't enough of them. Go back to the conversation we were having with regards to Yannick Noah the other day. Good serve from Davidovich Fokina. Blocked back long by Taranti. So 30-40. Yannick just saying that because of the code of conduct these days, players can't express themselves. It's not healthy to repress your emotions too much. He's not advocating people going crazy on court, but let's have a little more fun and games. I do really agree with that, as interestingly Davidovich Fokina puts an off forehand into the net, and having served beautifully, whatever we say, the opposite then happens. We started this match by harping on about how good Taranti's serve was. He's broken twice. We then highlight the fact that Davidovich Fokina's lost only 2 points on serve up until that game, and then he promptly gets broken.
That's tennis for you. It's not us, it's tennis.
Yes,
just so we're clear. Yeah, I mean, the point about the code of conduct is a good one. It's actually the era of McEnroe, Connors, Nastasi, which are kind of, to me, are responsible for the tighter code of conduct that we have now, because they took up so much time and also there's a fine line, isn't there, between watching somebody
15-0.
Express themselves and watching somebody be abusive to an umpire. And those fine lines sometimes were crossed in that era, and I think that's why the generations that have come since those players have had to deal with a slightly tighter code of conduct. I also think it's that the tennis is now, in terms of the level of athleticism in there and the grueling nature of it and how much energy it takes up, I actually think players have less energy to argue things, because it doesn't, all it is using your resources up, putting you in a negative headspace. And that's fine if you're a player like a John McEnroe who fed off that. But actually for most players, it kind of just upsets the rhythm, takes them out of what they're doing. And so it's not something that coaches encourage.
Yeah, and of course, with electronic line calling, it's much harder to have an argument these days, as Taranti goes to 30 love, forehand cross court. Running forehand from Davidovich Fokina is wide. What I will ask you, though, is this, Lady E, and I appreciate that some of the behaviour from those superstars of the 70s was unacceptable. But if you had a choice, watching tennis today or being transported back to the 1970s, what would you choose?
Today.
Would you?
Yeah. Because I think the standard is just, it's a different sport. So I'm not, to me, it's not a binary choice. You know, obviously that's the era where I first started watching tennis. So I'm not saying that this one is better, but it's different. It's very different sport. And I think there's a difference between a player letting out their emotions. You see someone like Sabalenka, who's a good example of somebody who does let her emotions out, but it's directed towards herself. I think my issue with those players of that era is that quite often it was directed towards another person who couldn't speak back, who couldn't argue, and who was kind of being humiliated in front of a large crowd of people with somebody shouting what we would now consider to be abuse at them.
Yeah.
Not about them, but, you know, behaving in an abusive way in a very public setting. And I'm not sad that doesn't happen now, honestly. I think Sabalenka's team have spoken in a really interesting way about how they've helped her, rather than trying to suppress all her emotions and you know, don't feel nervous, don't get cross, don't let anything out. It's fine, get cross, let it out, but move on. And she is actually extremely expressive. And you think about some of the players we have that, I mean, we've said goodbye to Gael Monfils this week. I mean, he arguably the kind of poster boy for expression through tennis. But, I mean, I think the kind of expression that we're talking about with Taranti is it expressing himself through the way, the shots he chooses and the way he plays.
Merci.
Well, he played very well in that last service game. He held to love. But here is Davidovich Fokina, again serving for the set now at 5-4 and clubbing a big forehand down the line.
So
he blinked a couple of games ago. He's got a chance here to reset and get this set which he has dominated almost from the start, under his belt, with the clock ticking around to 34 minutes so far on court 14. Now, succession of forehands. Taranti running around to play the off forehand, clipping the top of the tape. The ball landed in. Oh, and Davidovich Fokina somehow got to it, and with the most acute of angles, wins the point.
He's such a great mover around a tennis court, is Davidovich Fokina. And some of that is anticipation. Some of that is his conditioning, which is spectacularly good. But Taranti's not a bad mover himself. But
no,
as we said, this we promised that this would be entertaining. And I think it's living up to that, even with a somewhat one-sided scoreline.
Wonderful little angled winner off the backhand wing, across the net, across the court. 30 love. Second serve. Clips the top of the tape again. Now he serves to the forehand, returns down the middle of the court. Plus one very swiftly struck on the backhand wing from Davidovich Fokina. More of the same from him. Now he's changing up the angle to the forehand of Taranti, who can't cope, shrugs his shoulders. He faces three set points. Katie McNally and Belinda Bencic on serve. Three games all. I think Bencic might have gone a break up there, but they're back on serve, if that is the case. And Karen Khachanov still has the advantage of a break on court Suzanne Longlet against Marco Drungaliti, who's at 2-4, game point to get it to 3-4. Forehand return, off forehand return from Taranti, and the plus one from Davidovich Fokina is just long. So he still hasn't quite done the job that he's looked more than capable of throughout this first set, and that is to win it. But here's another set point. To our left, as we look down onto court, Philippe Chatrier. Spectators starting to come in. Liga Swiatek due to get underway at midday local time, which is in around 15 minutes from now. 5-4, 40-15, second serve for Davidovich Fokina. It's to the forehand of Taranti, who now has to slice on his backhand. Highest ball, and it's hammered away by Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. And sure enough, as expected, based on the evidence of the first 36 minutes, the Spaniard, the number 21 seed, has the first set in the bag by a margin of 6-4. Federico Cina of Italy and Jesper de Jong of the Netherlands are at 3 games all on court 6. I mentioned that doubles match featuring Kwame and Pechi Parikar. Well, they're serving to stay in the first set against the detective pairing of Cash and Tracy. They're at 3-5, 40-30. Lots of doubles matches today as the doubles properly gets underway. And some big names, as we've mentioned, in action later in the singles with Alexander Zverev, the night match, with all of us wondering, as we always do at the start of a Grand Slam, might this be the time the German finally gets his hands on a major title? I've got this feeling, horrible feeling as far as he's concerned, Lady E, that it's going to elude his grasp. I just don't think, for whatever reason, he's going to win a Grand Slam. He's come so close, as you were talking about a couple of days ago. What do you reckon?
I think he came extremely close, you know, within a handful of points, didn't he, at the US Open in 2020. Played without any crowds at all, of course, because of the global pandemic at that time. He's an extremely high-achieving player, but I have a feeling that, and it slightly pains me to say this, I somewhat agree with you.
Can we make a note of that? After, 7 years working together, on day 4, Eleanor's agreed with me.
Somewhat, I said. and he has an opportunity here, doesn't he, in that he's second seed, there's no Carlos Alcaraz. He's on the opposite side of the draw to Jannik Sinner, which is where everybody wanted to be. But he also has been suffering since about December last year with some back problems, which have affected him on and off. And I think that is a worry at this tournament in particular. I think he's... excuse me. occasionally has a tendency to be a little bit passive in how he plays, and particularly in pressure moments. You know, you look at the great champions and they will go for broke at match point up or match point down. They will go for their shots and they will go on the attack and they will try and impose themselves. I think with Zverev, he can do that. He's got one of the best backhands in the men's game by quite some margin. But he does tend to retreat a little and just become a little bit passive in how he plays. Also, I think his second serve is probably a little bit of a weakness as well. But, I mean, could he win one? Absolutely. He has all the attributes to win a Grand Slam. He's in a very, very difficult era. You know, we saw Stan Wawrinka sign off his Roland Garros career. He'll be playing for the rest of the year, but sign off from here. And you know, he and Andy Murray struggled very much with this with Roger Federer and with Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic. You're in an era of greats. It doesn't help your chances of winning a Grand Slam. And it's hard enough to do anyway.
Yeah. But of course, there are always going to be greats out there. Well, this is extraordinary. Durante came up with just one ace in the first set. He has just delivered three aces in a row in his first game of the second set. And there were signs that he was warming up. This is what Naomi Cavaday was telling us about. Very, very close to another one as well. Straight down the middle, but just the wrong side. But maybe like many of us, he's a slow starter in the mornings. Backhand return now from Davidovich-Fokina, who's there again, going cross-court to the double-hander of the Argentinian. That pattern continues, and eventually it's Taranti who blinks first.
45.
Monia's been back in touch from beautiful sunny Cork.
I thought I'd leave you to read this one.
Yes.
Especially as the title is pronunciation.
I panic as soon as I see that. I'm actually panicking because when we go to Chatrier, as the return from Davidovich-Fokina goes into the net and Taranti holds to 15 at the start of the second, I do want you to go first in terms of how we're pronouncing Iga Świątek's opponent today.
Oh, do you?
Yes. While you're working that out, I'll read Ornia's email from beautiful sunny Cork, where it's 27 degrees already and sweltering. Hi, Eleanor and Marcus. I think Marcus needs to just start writing down the English phonetic pronunciation of all the listeners and tennis players. Go home on the Eurostar with this year's ticket. Then come back next year and be smug with his perfect pronunciation until he tries to speak French to Stefan and just mangles it. What do you mean mangle it? I'm speaking fluently with Stefan now. He keeps looking at me in wonder. The amount of words I have learned in the past 12 mois.
Connection was good.
There you go. Also, says Ornia, is there an official heat rule for Roland Garros like in Australia? Or has it just never officially been used? I feel for the ball kids, especially as it's a hard job in brutal heat. Well, that's a very good question. Do you have an answer to that one, Lady E?
I do. There is a heat rule. And it's something that doesn't get really talked about here. I mean, largely because it doesn't get used until, really, you get temperatures like this. But it's similar to the rule in Australia. In Australia, the heat rule is something we talk about all the time because, obviously, they're very used to extreme temperatures there. So it's in the women's, it's taking a break at the end of two sets. If you're before you go into a decider, you can have a 10-minute break there. And likewise, I think on the men's side, it's at two sets all. So it's there is a facility in there for players to cool down, get their core temperature down. Also, as part of sort of protecting player welfare, which is something which tournaments take incredibly seriously. You've seen the sort of sausage-shaped ice towels that players have, which actually live in an ice box. So you're putting this kind of... And that is really a giant bag of ice that you put around your neck because the back of your neck is the quickest way... Getting some ice onto the back of your neck is the quickest way to bring your core temperature down. So there are all sorts of things. Obviously, there are ice baths and hydration the business of how to hydrate, when to hydrate, the balance between how much water you take versus electrolytes so that you don't lose all the salt in your system. I mean, that is a fundamental part of what the teams for top players are doing. So the strength and conditioning coach or the physio for one of the very top players will have mixed those drinks absolutely, and there'll be different concentrations for different times in the match, for example. So it's a complicated business, but it's certainly something that players and their teams and tournaments take incredibly seriously.
Well, Davide Cecchini is taking his service game seriously.
40-15.
He's gone to 40-15. Taranti holding at the start of the second set. Barbara's been in touch with regards to what we were discussing a little earlier. The different style of behaviour compared to the 1970s and these days. And she says that back then she did occasionally experience some pretty unpleasant stuff going on, not just at tennis courts, but in restaurants as well. She makes reference to Ilie Nastasi, who, you know, I'm going to be absolutely honest, Ilie Nastasi is the reason I fell in love with tennis. I just loved his showmanship, his charisma on court. I fully appreciate that at times he went way over the top. That's why he was called Nasty. I've been lucky enough to, I've plugged the book now, travel the country with the former British number one, Roger Taylor, the man who saved Wimbledon. It's available online and in all good bookshops.
There are many copies, many.
There are hardly any left, so be quick. But he was saying that Ilie Nastasi wound him up more than any other player on court, and at times he could be horrendous, and he saw him behave quite badly in restaurants as well, without really meaning to. But he also did say that he's probably the only player that Roger would pay to go and watch. So it was that fascinating contrast. And of course, he went way over the top more recently when he was captain of the Fed Cup team, said some things to Anne Kyotovon, who was his equivalent opposite in the British team. And obviously, that's just totally unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, Nastasi was always quite a divisive figure for tennis fans, wasn't he? But equally, Jimmy Connors, who was, you know, a phenomenal competitor, but sometimes that just tipped over a little bit. John McEnroe, we know all about. McEnroe has built a fantastic career since then as a commentator and pundit, largely because he was a character that was just so watchable in his heyday.
But that is him. I mean, he's still a bit like that today, John McEnroe. I know when he plays the exhibition matches, it's basically written into his contract that he's got to have an eruption at least once in every set. But I've seen him erupt off away from the court as well. There we go. It's the first one of those.
Oh, lackluster today. That was very poor.
Very poor.
I mean, the opening bars were good.
Yes.
But then the crowd really were having none of that, were they? We're just like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that today. We've seen that a few times, actually, on court, Philippe Chatrier, where somebody's attempted to get that going, but there's been no buy-in, as they say.
It's always dangerous to try that. I've done it at football matches occasionally, try and start a chant. It's great if it works. It's extremely embarrassing if everybody just totally ignores you. Now, Taranti is serving one all second set, and he's love 15 here, and he's involved in a lengthy exchange. Forehand to forehand. Here's Davidic Cecchini. He's going to play the drop shot. And Taranti gets to it and responds with an excellent angle. I thought it was an excellent angle, but it was just called wide. Davidic Cecchini has just put a ring around the mark, and the umpire nips down off his chair and confirms that it was just wide. He did well there, Taranti, to get to the drop shot. I thought actually he'd responded brilliantly, but he missed by a fraction.
But if you were to ask me, would I like to watch Ilie Nastasi shouting at somebody, or John McEnroe shouting at an umpire, or would I like to watch Carlos Alcaraz expressing himself through the way he plays tennis? There's no contest to me.
Yeah. Very good answer.
And that's not to say that the players of that era weren't phenomenal players. Incredible tennis players.
Love 30, and the return is long, so 15-30. What I will say in response to that, though, Lady E, is that you could argue tennis was never more popular than in the late 70s and the early 80s.
But correlation doesn't equal cause. So, yes, that may well be true, but at the same time, that it's not necessarily because players were shouting a lot on court. There were lots of other factors, not the competition. There weren't the streaming services. Television worked in a completely different way. More people watched terrestrial television because that was the only form of television there was. So the audiences for tennis at that point were extremely high, whereas now we consume our sport in a totally different way. I'm not sure you can say it was really popular because people liked players who shouted at line judges or umpires. I think you can bring in so many other factors as to why tennis is popular in a different way now.
But it is interesting that we still, to this day, as we just watched this point at 1-all, 30-all, again, it's another bruising encounter from behind the respective baselines. And eventually, almost looked as though Davidovich-Fokina got a bit frustrated with that particular rally. And his forehand went long. We do still talk an awful lot about John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors and...
Because they were great.